That is one of the better modern hymns that we sing now to the Lord. It's all centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his work, and the music matches the words very well, and it brings us to think of him. That's the way it should be when we sing together. Please turn in your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue to study through this book. Last week we had an overview of the first four verses of Ephesians 6 on family, the way God wanted it to be. Speaking of family, it's good to have the Beardmores back visiting with us today. Alan and Katie we saw up in Carlisle last week at Mike McKelvey's ordination, and they're down here to speak at camp. I always get tickled when I look out on the congregation. It's a level playing field, except, whoop, there's Alan. I can't help but chuckle when I see that, but we're glad they're here this week. And Tom and Joy Hicks will be with the young people as well. Today is what our country celebrates culturally as Father's Day. The idea is to honor our fathers, our personal fathers, as well as the fathers of our country who have sacrificed much that we might live. And amidst all the cards and gifts that you may have received as a father, you know and I know that the best gift that your children can ever give you is to listen to you when you teach them about God and to live the kind of life that you tried to teach them while they were growing up. No card or present can substitute for that. Fathers carry in their hearts things that they may not speak publicly. They carry a deep love for their children, a deep concern for them. Sometimes their words of caution and protection may come out and sound controlling to young people and children. But behind those words is an attitude of fear. Fear for their children's safety, fear for their children's benefit and care, and their blessing in the future. It's complicated to be a father. God has given us commands to teach our children the Word of God. As it says in verse 4 of this chapter, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. That is, live such a contradictory life with our children that it drives them to anger by seeing your inconsistency, your hypocrisy, your breaking of your word, failing to keep your promises.
Treating them
in the next day
a different way.
Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, actually teaching the Word of God to the children, the Ten Commandments, how to live God's way morally in this world, but especially the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He has come to rescue us from ourselves and our selfishness and sin, to die for our sins in atonement, but to change our hearts. And fathers who are trying to follow God's way of raising their children think like that. Today we honor our fathers by looking at these verses, the first three verses of Ephesians chapter 6. Let's hear the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, or that is, as unto God, obey your parents. For this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long upon the earth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for letting us gather in your presence this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, that you were willing to cause him to go to the cross and lay upon him our sins and impute to him our failures, to honor you as we should as our Father, and that he willingly bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that he who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We bless you for this great atonement, which has reconciled us and removed the barrier of our sin and offense against you, to find you now as a loving Father who accepts us. And I pray that all who have come to you through Jesus Christ would believe that you are now their Father, that we are now your children, and we ask that you would give us strength by your Spirit and according to your word, how to honor you in the way we live. We thank you for our fathers, for the ones faithful to the word of God, and even for those who have not been, for you've chosen us to have them as our fathers, to teach us lessons about life, to prepare us for the world to come, and especially that we would return to you as our Father in heaven, to love us and comfort us and to take care of us by your kindness and mercy. Forgive us of our sins, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. This passage comes in the midst of Paul's applying all that he taught the first few chapters of God's grace and salvation and forgiveness and love to those who come to him, that is, to Jesus Christ, his Son, and are restored to God as their Father. In chapters 4 through 6, he tells us how to live that out now, no longer as people who live in this world without thought of God, who do not think about what God wants in their life, who are unwilling to submit to what God wants in their life. Rather, we are to live as children of light in the darkness, bearing witness to God's existence, to the truths of Jesus Christ and his ability to change human nature and make people who have not loved their neighbor as themselves to love others. People who have not loved God to love him. And so it's very important that we understand that the context here now of this Christian family is of those who are filled with God's Spirit. That is, they want to live for God. They want to live God's way because they believe he is good and wise and almighty and merciful in the face of Jesus Christ. So he says, children. He addresses children directly. And we know from the context of this commandments that he's not just talking about preschool children, little children. He's talking about elementary age children. He's talking about high school, middle school, and high school age children. We even know from the scriptures, which I think I can show you today, he's talking about college age children. That God has given us our parents to help children grow up safely and gain knowledge and wisdom that they cannot gain on their own, to help them as they go out into the world to establish their own lives. So boys and girls, I'm talking especially to you this morning. Honor not just your father, but also your mother. For this is the first commandment, the first of the Ten Commandments, with a promise that it may be well with you, that it would be good for you. It is good for you to honor your parents. God says, you may say, well, I don't think it's good for me to honor my parents, to obey everything they say, because I don't agree with them. Or maybe I don't like them. And yet God is wiser than you are, and he says that it may be well with you and that you may live long upon the earth. That a blessed life comes from children listening to, honoring, and obeying their parents. It's when they don't do that, at least according to God's word, that they get into great difficulty in their lives now and later. I've shared with you before couple of years ago when I was preaching through the fifth commandment that I'm not at all proud of the way that I grew up as a young man. I did not honor my father and mother as I should have. They took me to church. They provided me with a house to live in, clothes to wear, food to eat, everything I needed. And they were kind to me. But as I got into junior high and high school, I found that I had an anger growing in my heart against them. I didn't like to be told what to do. If I asked permission to do something or to go somewhere and they said no, sometimes I would pout or throw a little tantrum, try to manipulate them to get my way instead of trusting in God and submitting to them as God had commanded me to. And as this anger and bitterness and hatred with hateful thoughts and hateful words grew in my soul, I knew it was God telling me that I am a sinner against Him. That I would not want my children to think of me or speak to me the way I had done to my parents. It's a natural thing. You see, boys and girls, when you grow up and you have your own babies and children, and they start growing up, you find your heart is linked to them and you want them to respect you and honor you and love you. And when they say no, or they give you a hateful look, or question your love, are ungrateful for the gifts you've given them when you've had to work overtime to be able to afford to give them in these things, all these things, you will find that it would be your desire for your children to honor you, and you know it. And for you to desire that now, for your children later to honor you and respect you and love you as they should, yet you are unwilling to do it to your parents now, shows that you're a sinner before God and a hypocrite. And you need to go to Jesus Christ as fast as you can and confess your failure before God and seek His forgiveness and His love and His acceptance by grace, not because you deserve it, by faith alone in Him, and find a love that will never fail you so that you can love your parents and not fail them anymore. I thought my parents were stupid. Felt embarrassed by them. Wished I had different parents. Argued with them about everything. Going to church. Dressing up for church in my best clothes to come into the presence of God and worship Him. When I could use their car, how I drove the car. Where I could go with my friends, what time I had to come in. I sneaked around smoking and drinking with my friends, even though they had told me they didn't want me to do this. And lied to them about what I was doing, which is really cowardly, isn't it? That you're not honest with your parents and you lie to them for your actions, being dishonest with them. God knows that. The Bible says Jesus knew the thoughts of what men think. And God still knows. And I found ways to manipulate them, you know, to wear them down, little by little, continuously, until they finally give in and say, okay, do what you want. God used all of this later, the anger, the bitterness, the evil thoughts and words to show me His laws. How I stood before Him guilty as a sinner and in danger of His judgment. that hell was before me for living an ungodly and unloving way in this world, in many ways, one of which was with my parents. When I found that at the cross he would forgive me even of these evil, hateful things, it amazed me of such love and forgiveness and grace, and it broke my heart that I wanted God's forgiveness, but I was unwilling to forgive my parents of their faults and love them like God had loved me. And I had to go back to them as an adult. And of course, they didn't understand what I was really saying. They thought I was a good boy. I had to confess my sins to them and ask them to forgive me for dishonoring them, for disobeying them. And as an adult young man, I tried to honor them as Jesus Christ wanted me to. In their last year of sickness and dying, as I sat by their bedsides, knowing that they probably would not live very much longer, scenes came back in my mind of things that I had said to them, arguments I'd had with them, things I thought about them, things I said to my friends about them. And once again, God brought to my heart the evil of sin and the necessity of the death of the Son of God and nothing less to atone for such evil things. And I thought how merciful God had been to forgive me, that I may escape his wrath and judgment, but also to restore me to my parents in their adulthood, that now I could sit by their bedside and hold their hand, reconciled, praying for them, loving them, pitying them. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ restores parents and children together. And children, God has given this commandment to you for your good. It isn't necessary that you understand everything about it, or why this, or why that, or even understand everything that your parents ask you to do or command you to do. What is necessary is you understand that the Almighty God, who made this creation for the likes of you and me as children, has said to you, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If he says it's right, it's right. That settles it. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long, that it may go well with you. If the Almighty God of this creation and of you in your mother's womb says, this is my will for you as a child, you are called by him to be accountable for doing it and calling upon him for the strength to do it. This morning, I want us to look at what this commandment actually means in verses 1 through 3. And secondly, how to live it out with your parents. So I'm addressing mainly children of all ages. If you have parents alive today, no matter your age, this sermon is for you. Even if they're gone from this earth, it deals with your thoughts and your attitudes still. The commandment, as I said, is very simple. He's addressing children of all ages, and he says, at home, away from home, and he includes even as an adult with your own family, to honor your father and mother. Now, sometimes in our society, there's a lot of confusion as to who is a child and who is not. And I want to say up front that getting a driver's license does not mean that you're an adult. It just means you got a driver's license. Having the right to vote does not mean you're an adult. It just means you have the right to vote. It's interesting to me, as I've searched the scriptures about this issue, when does a child become an adult? That in Numbers chapter 1, if you want to look at it later, several times, God told Moses and Israel that they could not send a young man out to war unless he was 20 years old. There were no child soldiers in those days. There were no children running off at 15 and lying to the military and saying, I'm 18, and getting in. At 20 years old, he could go off to war, and not before.
At 20 years old.
And if he was married,
he could not go off to war for the first year of his marriage because he needed to stay home.
Now, those are merciful laws. But there needs to be some understanding that in God's eyes, adulthood doesn't come with puberty or driver's licenses or college. That God calls you young people to listen, honor, and obey your parents, at least till you're 20. And I believe that. The book of Proverbs is written to children, for parents to teach their children. But when you look at the book of Proverbs and you see how the father addresses his son and he says, my son, listen to my teaching. The things the father talks to the son about are adult things. And that this son is to follow what his father teaches him in childhood all the way through his adulthood. God has given much information to parents and children in how to live together. The word honor in verse 2 of our text means heavy. It has the idea of weight. That is, it's a big thing. It's an important thing. It's an awesome thing to honor someone. It's a word used by God and how he wishes to be honored by his people. Think of how you should honor God in his great majesty and his almighty power. In his mercy that he would still allow sinners and rebels against him to be forgiven and restored to him and be adopted as his own children. What honor of such a good and merciful God comes to the heart. And this is a word that is used for the people of the scriptures to obey what he teaches, to honor him, to listen to what he says respectfully, to honor him, and to obey his commandments, to honor him. And it's the same word that God used in the Ten Commandments to tell children how they're to treat their parents. They're to honor them. Heavy, weight. Give respect to them. Listen to them. Consider who they are, that God has chosen them to be your parents, so he must have a reason. And what they have to say to you, God stands behind it, insofar as it's not sinful what they say to you. And God holds you responsible to listen, to speak respectfully to them, and try to obey every command they've given to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ honored and obeyed Joseph and Mary. And it must have been, in our terms, if not difficult for him to do that because he wanted to do his father's will, it took a lot of patience because Joseph and Mary were not perfect. I believe Joseph died before Jesus reached adulthood. He's not mentioned in the Gospels after the temple situation when he was 12 years old. So I believe Jesus probably had to take over the carpentry shop as the oldest son, make sure there was income from the family, his mother was taken care of, his brothers and sisters. He honored his mother
And as we look through the Gospels, we find that sometimes his mother was not perfect. He knew more than she did. He always knew more than she did. As the Son of God, he knew more at 12 years old than the best teachers in the temple. They were amazed at his responses. And yet he submitted himself, it says in Luke 2, to his parents. He honored them. He obeyed them. Even though he was perfect and they were not. So our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't ask you as children to do anything he's not done himself. And he had to go to the cross as part of his work to die for the evil thoughts, the evil words, and the sinful behavior of children against their parents, as if he were the one who committed those acts. He took responsibility for dishonoring parents and disobeying him for his sheep upon himself, and bore the wrath of his Father against such evil sins as if he had committed them, till atonement was made and it was finished, as he said from the cross. So that children who have sinned against their parents might be forgiven, and in looking at what Christ has done for them, have a heart to try to honor their parents as he wishes. In the Old Testament, it was a major offense to dishonor your parents or disobey them. In Exodus chapter 21:15, it says, "He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." That was a law. It was on the books. You strike your father and mother, you'll be stoned to death. Exodus 21:17, "He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Now, liberals who don't believe the Bible is inspired of God would look at that and say, "What an unmerciful God." However, we who believe Christ rose from the dead as the greatest miracle in history, that he is alive, approved of these words. Because he understood how great a sin it is for a child to curse or strike a parent. It is so opposed to the goodness of God, and God is so opposed to sinfulness and wickedness, that it is just that such an act deserves death. For we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So to sin against one's parents is not a small thing in God's eyes. As I read these verses as a young man, it broke my heart how evil I had been to my parents. God's Spirit convicted me and showed me my faces, my anger, my words, my thoughts, that I would be ashamed of anyone in this world to know. Deuteronomy 21:18 reads, if you turn there with me, Deuteronomy 21:18, part of the law of Moses that God gave him before they entered the promised land. Deuteronomy 21:18, "If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother." Notice the mother's thrown in there. Somehow young people think it's okay to disobey their mother or dishonor her as long as they honor their father, because they know their father will beat the devil out of them. But God says father and mother. "If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them." Did you hear the word listen here? Listen to them. He will not give them honor and weight. "Then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. He is a party animal against his parents' will and commands. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. So shall you remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear and fear. God did not want this attitude to spread among the other children. And so justly, God, this is not Moses' idea, this is God's idea. Take the son to the elders, tell them what he has done, that he will not listen, he will not obey, and they're to stone him to death and remove the evil. This is how serious God thinks of disobedience, refusing to listen to parents. A son going out and leading a rebellious and profligate life of drunkenness against his parents' teachings. Although these civil laws do not apply to us today as a spiritual kingdom of God, the principle is still there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, same law as the Old Testament, that it may go well with you, that you may live long upon the earth. But America has laws like this, if you think about it. If a young person strikes his father or mother, he can be arrested, go to court for assault. That law was established based upon this law in the Bible in America. The Christian principles of law and justice come from the Ten Commandments, and some of them from the Mosaic case laws, and this is one of them. To disobey parents and their will of how you drive the car, and you end up driving recklessly, you kill someone, that is homicide. It's murder. And you'll be arrested for it. If you drink and drive or use drugs and drive and you get into a wreck, there are consequences in court. And if you kill someone, you may go to jail because you disobeyed your parents. Your parents say, "This is part of the town I don't want you to go into because it's dangerous there." You go into it, you get mugged, something worse happens to you. Your parents say, "I don't want you going to this place, this establishment. There's trouble there." You go anyway, and things happen to you. It's because you disobeyed your parents. There are consequences to your actions, and when you dishonor and disobey your parents, it's very serious in God's eyes. So serious that there is no forgiveness for you before God when you stand before his judgment one day, telling him, "I don't care what you said about honoring my father and mother. I refuse to do it." If you stand before God with that kind of a heart, you will bear your own wrath, the wrath of God against you in hell for breaking his law. Only the death of Jesus Christ, where the wrath of God is poured out upon himself instead of upon you, will save you from that terrible sin. And the thing is, as James said, if you commit only one sin and break only one of the Ten Commandments, James chapter 2, you've broken them all 10. If you disobey your father and mother or dishonor your parents in your thoughts or eyes or words or deeds, only one time, it's the kind of sin that Adam committed that brought death and the curse upon mankind. God will judge you for it. That's how serious it is. But the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to be the Savior of sinful children, that if they will flee to Him and repent of the way they've treated their parents and seek forgiveness from Him, He will apply His blood, His ransom, to your soul, and you will be forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness. And an odd thing will happen. You'll fall in love with Him, Jesus Christ. And in loving Him,
honor
you'll hear these words
and your mother
from the mouth
of
Jesus.
You know what?
You'll want to. Your heart will change because of Him. And God promises a great blessing, that it may go well with you, that you may live long on the earth by listening to your parents, but not just listening with a blank mind, in one ear and out the other, but by listening and honoring their requests and their commands and obeying them in your life. God will protect you and provide for you. It will be a hedge about you to protect you from the evil one and things that could be very dangerous for you, as well as heartbreaking. Let me be practical to you, children. Every time you disobey your parents, say no to them, argue when they say stop, make ugly faces behind their backs or to their face, speak critically of your parents to friends when it's none of their business, have evil thoughts about your parents, break their rules for your life, refuse their advice, refuse to ask their advice for important questions of life, refuse to submit to their commands, lie to them, deceive them, refuse to answer their questions honestly, forget to do what they told you to do. You don't forget what your friends say to you, but it's real easy to forget what your parents say to you. Even forgetting what they have told you to do, you have broken the law of God. And you stand condemned by God as a sinner, deserving His wrath and judgment for failing to obey Him perfectly. And your only hope is Jesus Christ, to come to Him for mercy. And He promised that the one who comes to Me, I will in no wise cast out, even sinful children. And He will accept you and love you, teach you how to love your parents. So how are we going to live this out? This command's clear as a bell. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor, give weight, listen to, give respect. Give thanks to your parents, as you would give thanks to God for your food. You thank God for your food at the table. How many times do you thank your parents for providing it for you? Your dad for working at a hard job that he perhaps would love to quit, but he can't because he's got to take care of the household. How shall we live by this commandment and love our parents positively? Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It's not puffed up with pride. It does not seek its own way. It's not stubborn. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. It forgives, hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never fails toward parents. Well, children at home, which we're mainly talking to in this message about from birth to leaving home for college or moving out for a job, as long as you're at home under your parents' care, provision, and protection, you have to honor and obey them in everything, as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, in respect of your honor to Jesus Christ, because He's commanded you to obey them in everything. They're God's hedge about you, to protect you and teach you how God wants you to live. You may not understand their rules and their commands, but they've lived longer than you have. And most of the parents in this room have made some pretty big mistakes growing up that have had consequences to their thoughts and their lives. And they fear you making the same mistakes or worse and hurting yourself in your life. They know more about life than you do, and God wants you to listen to them. You may kindly ask them questions about what they teach you or even what they command you to do. Kindly ask them questions. But before Almighty God, you have no right to say no to them, to deceive them and lie to them, to forget what they say and what they've commanded, because God holds you responsible. Now, as soon as you start talking about this kind of thing, that you cannot argue and complain and treat them wrongly or throw a fit to get them to change your mind, young people, children and young people want to immediately ask, okay, I know God has said obey your parents, but how far does that go? I mean, really, my parents do not dress with style. I'm supposed to listen to them about how I dress? My dad knows nothing about repairing a car. I know more. They've never played sports like I'm doing. How can they give me counsel? I can't imagine them ever having had boyfriends and girlfriends when they were young. So what do they know? But you see, that's where you're ignorant. And they call you a child instead of an adult. You need adults to give you advice to help you avoid great sorrows in your life that they may have already experienced. How far does it go? Does it go to what I can have and not have? What I can buy and not buy with my own money? Which usually is not your own money. It's usually money your parents gave you or your granddaddy gave you or somebody like that. But you think it's your money and you have rights to buy whatever you want to. Can my mom and dad tell me, I'm sorry, honey, you can't spend your money on this? Does it have to do with where I get to go? What friends I spend time with? What kind of TV, books, magazines, movies, music, computer games, on and on, I can watch and listen to? What kind of clothes I can buy and wear? What friends I might get to spend my time with? How much money I spend on certain things, whether I get a driver's license, when I get a driver's license, how I drive a car. They're going to tell me how to drive a car. Does it go as far as what sports I'm allowed to play, whether I go to church, whether I go to youth camp or not, how I dress at church, how I'm supposed to talk to parents and others and teachers and friends, friends of my parents, whether I can date and when, how I keep my room. I could go on and on. There's a lot of questions. But here's the answer to every one of them. Yes. They can. Because God has given them authority of their position over you and the responsibility to protect you from your own lack of wisdom. And you may not agree with your parents. You may ask questions or ask them to explain more about their decision. And it may be even after discussion and information that you agree with them. Or even if you do not fully agree with them, at least you understand what they're thinking. Whatever the case, if that is their final command, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, is in the Bible. It is God's word. And you are called to submit your anger, your impatience, your pride and arrogance, your refusal to listen, your evil thoughts, and anything else that is sin to God, and show honor to your parents and obey them. Now, parents that are wise parents, as your children grow up, you give them more choices. And you guide them in the different alternatives so that they'll make wise decisions. And if they don't, they suffer the consequences, and then you can help them. But God's word is clear. It is our society, and it is your friends, and it is perhaps your own mind that makes this commandment unclear. If it's not sin, and the sad thing is some parents actually teach their children to sin, teach them to lie. By the way, they lie to their children or other people. They teach them to steal by being dishonest, or even involve their children in lying to get money from someone. Sadly, some parents teach their children to be immoral with the opposite sex by the way they talk to them, or their example, or what they expose them to in the home. Some parents teach their children to murder by talking with hatred about other people in front of their children and teaching them to hate the people they hate. And God's going to judge those parents. He's going to hold them responsible. And children do not have to obey their parents when their parents are causing them to sin against God, to steal, to lie, to cheat, to be immoral, all these kinds of things. But stopping short of that, everything else, God has called children to honor and obey their parents. What about children away from home, college, and at work? You feel like you're an adult. You're out there. You've got some freedom. You've got a car that your parents let you borrow. You've got a place to live that your parents are helping you pay for. You're out there on your own finally at last. And if you get sick and go to the hospital, you get your parents' insurance on you to pay for it. I mean, you're on your own. You're wise. You can do anything. Should you listen to your parents at that age? The Bible says yes. The book of Proverbs is written not only to small children, as I've said, but to young adults even after they marry. A father gives advice to a young man: rejoice in the wife of your youth. He gives advice to a young man to avoid becoming involved in relationships with the opposite sex that are immoral in God's eyes. He tells them, don't go around with an angry man. He doesn't say do not go around with an angry boy. He's talking to an adult young man. He says, do not go around with an angry man and also an adult young woman, lest you learn his ways and be ensnared. The book of Proverbs is written to children of all ages to listen to what their parents taught them growing up and continue to live by those standards and those teachings into adulthood, and to teach those same things to your children. Proverbs begins in verse 7 of chapter 1 with these words: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What God says is where knowledge begins. The God who made you, the God who will judge you, the God who holds you accountable for your life. He's the one that defines what is knowledge and what is true and what is wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you're unwilling to listen to God, you are a fool. That's not a derogatory name in the Bible. It's the description of a person who will not listen to God. It's foolish. It's self-destructive. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. That means in college and after college, do not forsake your mother's teaching. My son, do not forget my teaching, Proverbs 3:1, but let your heart keep my commandments. There's a father begging his son. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. He's saying, I'm trying to preserve you and protect you and help you to have peace in your life and prosperity. Many years and length of days in your life. So even when you leave home and go out on your own, God holds you responsible to live according to your parents' teachings. They are your instruments from God to help you to live as His in His ways. And one final word to older parents who started your own family. I mean to older children who started your own family and you've got kids now. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. But in Matthew 15, the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the Pharisees for refusing to help their parents in old age and in their needs financially. Jesus said, honor your father and mother. And the Pharisees, what they would do is dedicate a portion of their money to God and say, I'm saving that for missions or something. And so their parents have need of money to live, to eat food, for medical care. And the Pharisees say, I can't use that money. It's dedicated to missions. Jesus said, you hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. For God said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. These are the words of Jesus. But you who say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God, he is not to honor his father and mother. By this you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. It is our calling as Christians, as children who are Christians, to help our parents in their distress. Physically, if they need care. Financially, even if they need help for food, clothing, and shelter, the basic things of life. They need guidance. Because God has commanded to children of all ages, honor your father and your mother. Now, young people, many of your friends are not raised in a home where parents try to teach their children the ways of God. And you will be tempted to listen to those friends of yours for advice on what to say to your parents and how to get along with your parents and what they think about your terrible parents. And I have a few things to say to you about that. Who is more important to you, God or your sinful friends? Who is wiser, God or your sinful friends? Who will bring you to account before his judgment seat for the way you treat your parents, God or your sinful friends? And who is the only one who can save you from an eternal hell for giving yourself over to rebellion? God or your sinful friends? You see, you need to wake up. God's word is God's word, and it carries more authority and weight than your sinful friends. And the more you listen to them instead of God's word or your parents whom God has given to you, You are living in sin against God, and He will hold you responsible. And in fact, you'll keep going down the path of sin till it becomes a rolling stone that picks up snow along the way into a big snowball of misery at the end of the path. Whereas if you would listen to God, it would be well with you, and your days would be long upon the earth. Can you not trust a God who would send His only begotten Son, who is God the Son, to the cross for rebels, to die for rebels, to bear the wrath that they deserve for rebels, that they may be free and forgiven and adopted as children of God with changed hearts? Can you not trust a God like that? Boys and girls, this is what faith is. Living by faith means, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, because these are the words of Jesus Christ. And if you love Him, you'll do it for Him, not because your parents are perfect. For His glory, for His honor, for your good and their good. You may have parents that are very poor, who sometimes make mistakes, who sometimes sin with anger and irritation with you. And you may try to excuse your behavior by the faults of your parents, but I want to say clearly, God doesn't. And maybe if you love the Lord Jesus Christ enough to honor your parents according to His will, you might help your parents be better parents. Let's pray.